fighting for America.
Yeah, cop just got shot.
I saw him. He got shot in the face.
Yeah, he got shot. I saw that. Laid on the ground. I didn't get him, but I saw him. They taking cover. It was none of the protesters. It was at least 500 feet up tip, and we didn't see it.
Fighting for Idaho.
Seriousness, the violence that took place, it's really sad and really shocking, and we hope to never hear of something like this again. And I mean, this is really just terrible, terrible.
Fighting for you.
How much traffic control does the city of Eagle need, for crying out loud? Everybody understands green light, red light.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the morning.
He's a five-year-old.
Winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Work for the government. That this belongs to the government.
Okay, but that's not the way she sees it.
Well, I think she's going to have a real problem with it. I think the Freedom of FOIA cases against her are going to be numerous. I think there are possible civil violations that have to be looked at. I think she's going to be put under investigation. And I think the best answer here is, you know, trust but verify.
Okay, but
we have to see those emails.
There we have it. The Hillary Clinton email debate goes on and on. Good morning, Kevin Miller with you at 580-KIDO. Phone number is 580-5436. Kevin at KIDOAM.com, at Kevin Miller Show on Twitter and Facebook. We love to interact with you all the time. Joining us now from Debbie Does Politics, Debbie Schlussel. Good morning, ma'am.
Good morning.
Good to have you back. Great to have you with us. It's old home day once again. I wish that we could go back in the hot tub time machine, you know, 20 years ago. This, what's happening today with our foreign policy, would be a work of fiction, but the fiction is stranger than the truth when we're talking about how Israel is bad and the crazy mullahs in Iran and Tehran are good.
Yeah, who would have thought? I think that even Jimmy Carter, with all of his faulty machinations when we had hostages in Iran and his failed helicopter attempt to rescue them, even he was not on the side of the Ayatollahs, although I have to point out that he is the reason or one of the big reasons why the Shah of Iran was deposed. He pushed him out, and then the Ayatollah Khomeini flew back from Paris, where he was living in exile, to take things over. So his policies were not good and led to this current situation. But even he, as bad as he was not negotiating with these people to against our enemies. This whole thing is ridiculous. I do think, however, that the whole hubbub about Netanyahu's speech to Congress really was an acting job, like WWE wrestling, in my opinion, on all sides. I think there was a lot of fakery going on. I mean, let's face it, John Boehner has not been good on all of the very important national security issues that count, such as the Homeland Security funding and the funding for Obama's amnesty, which, by the way, brings in and makes legal a lot of Iranian terrorists who've snuck over our borders and come into this country. So he, I believe, invited Netanyahu to speak, not because he really cared about what Netanyahu had to say, but because he wanted to build up brownie points among us conservatives who don't like him. He wanted to say, look, I'm on the right. I'm supporting Netanyahu. So I think that when it comes to national security issues that really hurt Israel even more than Iran, and hurt America more than Iran, which is immigration and open borders, John Boehner's a big zero. And then there is Netanyahu, who really gave this exact same speech a couple of years ago to Congress, maybe even 3 years ago, and it was pretty much the same speech. But in those 3 years, he hasn't really done anything to try and take out what's going on in Iran, because it's nearly impossible. They have 70 nuclear sites. What they did was they looked at what the Israelis did and what the Iraqis did when the Israelis took out the Iraqi nuclear system in Asirak, at Asirak, Iraq. And what happened was Saddam Hussein had his nuclear facilities and silos concentrated in one site, and it was above ground. So the Iranians learned from that, and they created what's estimated to be upwards of 70 sites, maybe even as many as 140 throughout Iran, and they're underground, and they are reinforced reportedly by cement. So the only thing that can destroy them is bunker busters, and Obama, by the way, won't give those to Israel. So Israel really can't destroy them anyway, but the only way they could be destroyed is if Israel got it was allowed to fly into the airspace of somewhere like Turkey, have the element of surprise, which is going to be nearly impossible to have given the surveillance and satellites that Iran has and so on. And they would have to take out all 140 sites at once. It's something nearly impossible to do. So I think that Netanyahu knows that eventually Iran, regardless of what kind of deal we make with them, is going to get those nuclear weapons, and really he's not going to do anything to stop it. Because remember, we've been warned that this is going to go on for more than a decade, and nobody's done anything. I remember at the after the Bush administration ended and Dick Cheney wrote his book, which was, I thought, very illuminating, he said that he asked George W. Bush to give Israel the bunker busters and to help them take out the Iran nuclear system, and Bush wouldn't allow that. So, while Obama's more out in the open of what he's doing, Bush wasn't so helpful either, according to Dick Cheney, and I believe Dick Cheney. I thought he was an extraordinary vice president, and he should have been the president instead of Bush, because I think that he really had America's and our allies, Israel's, interests at heart.
Yet he was vilified. He was vilified by the press.
Right.
And Debbie, he's got great defenders like you here at 580KIDO. But, you know, Cheney was probably right, but the press vilified him.
Right. The press did vilify him. They made him like Darth Vader in cartoons and so on. But really, I thought on foreign policy, he really knew what was going on better than Bush. And Bush stopped listening to him for a while. He also wanted Bush to give full clemency and a full pardon to Scooter Libby, which Bush didn't do. He only gave him partial clemency. And, Bush, I felt, was not the right winger that he was portrayed in the press. We see the results of that. By the way, I want to point out the president who was toughest on Iran actually was Bill Clinton. We have an emergency aid policy where we are allowed, the government of Iran and the country of Iran is allowed to receive products and services from companies in the United States that are deemed to be emergency goods and services. Under Bill Clinton, he was very strict on that, and he only allowed $8 million worth of goods to pass over into Iran. Under Bush, that number went over $150 million, and we were sending Iran Coke and Pepsi and underwire bras from Hanes and Sara Lee. None of those things, I think, are emergency goods. I mean, if they really need underwire bras that badly, I don't think that's an emergency. Let them sag. And Coke and Pepsi, please. They can, if it's not an emergency, they can have their horrible Iranian soda. It's not going to, lose Iranian lives. But the trade went over $150 million a year with Iran. And, after that, Barack Obama expanded it even further. I want to point out one other thing, which is that people like Carly Fiorina, who, thank God, will never be the Republican nominee, but she's pretending like she has a chance so that she can get speaking fees and continue to get media coverage. She actually, as the head of HP at the time, went around the U.S. embargo on Iran. And what she did was she set up international foreign divisions of HP so that she could sell printers and computers and ink cartridges to Iran and get away with it above or below or around the embargo. And so it's funny now to hear her talking tough on Iran along with some of the Republican candidates when she wasn't actually that tough. She was an enabler when it counted, when she was the leader of HP. But anyway, and then there is Obama, who I think really has acted disgracefully. I think we all know that this deal is doesn't do anything for us. It doesn't do anything for Israel. It actually does harm to both us and Israel. And the Iranian Ayatollahs are laughing at us all the way, I would say all the way to the bank, but I think all the way to the missile silo. So I think that, but yet he gets all of his leftists in the Democratic Party to cheer him on and appreciate that he was upset with Congress and fought against Boehner and Netanyahu. So I think all three actors in this scenario, they all get to play their part. One thing I want to point out about Netanyahu is that people think Netanyahu is like Ronald Reagan or Ted Cruz. And as far as Israeli politics go, he is not the Ronald Reagan or Ted Cruz of Israeli politics. He's more like the Jeb Bush of Israeli politics. Unfortunately, he's the best choice that is viable because the Labor Party candidate, who is to the left of Obama in terms of Israeli politics and who wants to reopen negotiations with the Palestinians and make more concessions to them, he's the only other choice. So Netanyahu has to be reelected, and it's a tight race. But Netanyahu's actually his worst problems, I think, in Israel, beyond Iran getting nukes, are immigration and open borders, just like in our country. Israel has a horrible immigration problem right now. They have people who've entered the country from all over, and liberal Israeli judges have ruled that they cannot be deported, that they're entitled to all kinds of welfare benefits and entitlements. I mean, it sounds familiar. It's just like in America. And they're having kids, and a lot of these people are Muslims. And their birth rate and their population in Israel is growing, which is another danger in the upcoming Israeli elections. Because, you know, right now there are, I think it's 10 or 12 Arab members of parliament of the Knesset, and there are only 120 members of the Knesset altogether, so that's already 10%. And many of these Arab members of the Knesset are Muslim, and they are calling for Israel's destruction. They openly support Hamas. I mean, it is, what other country in the Middle East has members of its government that openly call for its destruction? None. Just Israel, and you never hear about this on the news. The problem is that now these Arabs are, they used to have like smaller rival parties, but now they're uniting just behind one or two parties, and those are going to take a lot of seats in the Knesset, a lot more than 10 or 12.
And Debbie, hang on for a moment. We're going to have more with our great friend Debbie Schlossel here at 580KIDO. We love your questions, your comments. Very insightful concerning Israel and Iran. Perhaps we'll talk a little bit about Syria. We'll talk a little bit about the body politic, and we love it when Debbie talks culture with us as well. More coming up. You can check her out at Debbie Does Politics. That's her website. More coming up next time for Traffic Now.
Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
/7:23, you're listening to 580 KIDO, Idaho's place to talk, live local talk about the issues that impact you. Our great friend Debbie Schlossel with us as we continue on. Debbie Does Politics. We go to the phones. Ron Paul Jim at 580 KIDO. Gee, I wonder what you want to talk about. Good morning, Ron Paul Jim.
Good morning. Debbie, I was just wondering which country has committed an act of war against the United States in its history?
Well, there are several countries. I would say Great Britain when we fought the Revolutionary War.
No, two countries.
I think you're probably about to say something anti-Semitic and incorrect. Am I right?
No, you're about to say what the truth is, which is the USS Liberty was attacked by what country?
You know what? The USS Liberty is a canard that is constantly preached and rehearsed by Jew haters and anti-Semites, and I think you're
probably one of the survivors of the USS
And everybody
Liberty.
Knows, and there's actually a great book about this written by a judge. I believe his name is A.J. Crystal. I believe it's spelled C-R-I-S-T-O-L. Who actually has studied the whole USS Liberty situation. And what happened was that an Israeli, that the USS Liberty never declared itself to the Israelis. The Israelis didn't know who it was, and they were in Israeli waters. And everybody knows
that the survivors said
Israel
this,
is America's strongest ally in the world, including in the UN, and that was an accident because the sailors on the USS Liberty did not properly identify themselves and did not listen to Israeli authorities when they were in Israeli waters. That is not an act of war. You are not
correct, but I know
you don't like Jews, so thanks for letting us know. Whenever I hear the words USS Liberty, I know what it means. It means Jew-hater, neo-Nazi.
Which of the two countries has been caught in espionage with the United States? Which of the two
Many countries have been caught in espionage in the United States. China, for example.
Which country?
Russia,
the former
Soviet
Iran
Union.
And Israel, okay.
Many countries. And you know what?
And you know what else?
Allies spy on allies. We know, for example, that the Germans spy on us. We spy on Angela Merkel. She got upset about that. We spy on the British. They spy on us. Allies spy against allies. And you know what? And I know what you're going to talk about. You're going to talk about Jonathan Pollard. And you know what the story with Jonathan Pollard is? That some of the documents he was giving to the Israelis were documents the United States was required to give to Israel under treaties that the United States signed with Israel, but wasn't giving to them. Jonathan Pollard, by the way, got a bigger penalty in prison than any of the spies in the United States for enemy countries, spies that we caught who were working for the Chinese, spies we caught working for the Soviets.
How is it that Israel is the only country that is allowed dual citizenship, Israel and the United States, and given the highest levels of security clearance?
That's not true. That's
serving
not true.
In both governments.
We allow dual citizenship for many countries. You're mistaken. And in fact, I don't think you're mistaken. I think you know
serving
better. And I think you just like
to
lie because you don't like
kidding?
Israel. I think it's funny that a country that at certain points is less than a mile wide has your ire and attention. And that usually is a very strong sign coupled with the utterance of the words the word USS Liberty of Jew hatred. And I don't think you like the Jews.
See,
by the way, do you believe the Holocaust happened? Do you believe the Holocaust happened?
You always run to anti-Semitism.
Do you believe the Holocaust happened?
Instead of the truth.
Do you believe the Holocaust happened?
The United States.
Do you believe the Holocaust happened?
Was it not?
Do you believe the Holocaust happened?
Okay, what does Holocaust mean?
You won't answer. See, thank you for making my point.
What
You're a Holocaust denier. You don't believe that happened.
No, I didn't say
you don't like Israel. You don't like Jewish people.
No.
By the way, did you dislike Hitler? Did you like
Jews
dislike
don't
Hitler?
Like the term Holocaust. You know why?
Did you dislike Hitler? Did you think he was a bad actor in world affairs?
He was terrible.
Wow. Thank you. Finally, one decent answer from you.
Hey, let me ask you this. What's
He's terrible,
the
but you don't think he did. He perpetrated
if you
the
know
Holocaust.
So much about it,
you
tell me what the
Holocaust
proper definition
existed.
Of Holocaust is. Do
you
know?
Don't think the Holocaust existed. My grandparents, who lost both sides of their families, my relatives who all have tattooed numbers on their arms, you think it's all made up?
Offering sacrifice is the actual proper definition of what a Holocaust is.
Oh, so the Jews were just a sacrifice. Thanks for letting me know. Thanks for the tip, bud.
I didn't make up the name. Somebody else did, and somebody is probably.
Oh, so it's a made up name and it never happened. Thank you.
The Zionist world that you live in.
The Zionist. That's another code word that Jew haters use. No, I live in America. I'm a proud American. I'm not sure what you are other than a proud neo-Nazi. But thanks for letting us know.
Jews against Zionists and see what you see.
All right, Ron, Paul, Jim, thank you.
Code word for Jews.
Thank you for the call there.
Thanks for letting us know.
You're fired up, Debbie.
You know what? I can't stand Jew haters. These are the kinds of people that were, 20% of Nazi Germany and elected Hitler. And that's why the Holocaust happened, because of people like this. And, by the way, the things that this man was spouting is the same kind of stuff you'll hear on the Arab street and in the Arab newspapers everywhere in the Arab and Muslim worlds. It's no different. It's the same kind of stuff, by the way, that people who follow ISIS spout.
Debbie, we always appreciate it. Debbie Does Politics. We'd love to have you back. DebbieDoesPolitics.com, and we want to talk more about the ISIS threat. Thank you for making our day.
Thank you.
All right, you're listening to Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.
Sean Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And joining us now is our great friend, Major Dan Rooney. Major Rooney, good to have you with us.
What a great morning to be an American.
Well, good to have you here, getting ready for your big event here in Boise coming up March 21st.
That's right. I'm headed your way from Dallas, Texas on Friday to run the first inaugural Volition America Half Marathon 5K and Mission March up there. So really fired up.
Well, let's talk a little bit about what the proceeds do and the half marathon and Folds of Honor and just how it's changed your life, sir, and what we can do to help those who have protected us for so many years.
Well, my background is fairly unique, Kevin, as an F-16 fighter pilot and a golf professional and an avid runner. And really, this is an outgrowth of my passion to serve our country, specifically our families who've had someone either killed or disabled in combat. And the Folds of Honor this year will pass through 10,000 scholarships awarded to spouses and children of those disabled or KIA'd. And really, in a nutshell, I mean, Volition America is a race series for those people that bleed red, white, and blue and do it unapologetically and want to get out and show their support for our country, for our troops, and several ways to do that. As you mentioned, we've got the traditional half K there on the east side starting in Barber Park, but we also have a 5K and then a 1.3K, which is really interesting. It's never happened before in the race genre, if you will, but 1.3K, that's a strange number, right?
Yeah.
But there are 13 folds that bring the flag to its triangled shape, which is the origin of the name of our foundation, the Folds of Honor. And it costs $13 to enter. 100% of those proceeds go back to benefit Folds of Honor, as well as a portion of all proceeds from the race. But this 1.3K is, you know, bring your dog, bring your kid. You can walk, dance, but it's about celebrating America. It's about red, white, and blue and supporting those that serve. And I know how patriotic Boise is, so we are very hopeful that we're going to have lots of folks sign up this week, and I can't wait to meet everybody there on Saturday morning.
Now, Major Rooney, how do we sign up? We've had a lot of people request it. It's you know, whether it's through Folds of Honor, through Volition for America. How do you sign up?
VolitionAmerica.com. So they can just go out. You can Google Volition. And oh, by the way, it's a little vocabulary lesson for everybody listening this morning. Volition is a strange word, right? But I think it's the most powerful word in the world. It is the power of choice. So we are hoping that everybody chooses to support this. And we're kicking it off in Boise. And I know it's something we're taking it across the country all year long. We picked Boise based on its patriotic roots. My great friend Keith Hughes up there running the race. But VolitionAmerica.com, they can go out there and sign up for the half, the five, or the 1.3K, and we just hope everybody, as I said, comes out and chooses to support this mission.
Well, let's talk about the need to help military families after they serve, because you just don't come back and you're the same person, right?
No, and it's an astonishing statistic. There's about 1.5 million dependents, so that's spouses and children, that have had someone either KIA'd or disabled just in Iraq and Afghanistan, and it's nearly 9 out of 10 that receive no federal education assistance. And, you know, that is our mission with this series and Volition America and Folds of Honor, and it's to leave no family behind. As I mentioned at the beginning of our interview, we will have over 10,000 recipients in school, literally kindergarten through medical school, that we are picking up their tuition and fees so that they can get an education. Many there in the great state of Idaho. And so that's the mountain we're all trying to climb together, but we need people to lace up their sneakers and help us march to ensure that we accomplish that mission.
Indeed. How has this changed you personally?
Well, you know, I always look at it, and people are like, hey, Major Dan, it must be so cool to be a fighter pilot and a golf pro, and it is, and that's what I do. But Folds of Honor and Volition America is who I am. And I think there's the most beautiful lesson that I learned 7 years ago as I started the Folds of Honor literally above my garage. One guy trying to make the world a better place and so humbled that so many people have come along with us. But it's that beautiful irony that when you reach out to help someone in need, that you're actually the one being helped. And that lesson changed me for life, and it's just such a blessing to get to share that with the supporters of Folds of Honor and Volition America. And I just hope that we're able to share that lesson with lots of folks on Saturday as well.
Saturday, March 21st, you've come a long way from your garage. I mean, sponsoring a NASCAR race.
Yeah, no, and I'll tell you what. So 2 weeks ago, for all the NASCAR fans listening, we had the Folds of Honor Quick Trip 500 in Atlanta. And that was the first moment in my life where reality exceeded my wildest dreams. And in those circumstances, you can only look up to the sky. And I know that, you know, God is in charge of this mission, and he is propagating it through this country. And we were able to, you know, share our story with 11 million NASCAR fans, the highest viewership of a NASCAR race outside of a Daytona 500 dating back to 2011. So we had lots of eyeballs to serve up God and country to.
Let's talk a little bit about the plane that you flew. What was that like?
So, you know, as an F-16 pilot, done three tours of duty in Iraq, and was in that for almost 13 years of my life, and now transitioning over to Tyndall Air Force Base. So I'm still serving in the Air Force Reserves, and getting to put the canopy down on a fighter jet is a, I'll tell you, it's a surreal thing. And I always like to say it's the closest thing to not being human that I've ever done. And just the, you know, the sheer speed, when you look at the speed of an F-16, almost twice the speed of sound, it's, you know, close to 1,600 miles an hour and 0 to 50,000 feet in under a minute. I mean, it's just this amazing magic carpet, and it's this perfect zen, not unlike running, you know, when you really become one with what you're doing. And whether you're flying an F-16 or, you know, you're out there on a long run, just those Maslows, those peak experiences in life. And certainly blessed to have had a whole lot of those, both on the ground and in the sky.
Physically, what's it like? What are the demands? We hear when reporters go up in these planes that they do the loop, they you know, vomit, they black out. Physically, what does it take to be a pilot?
Yeah, so you've got to stay in great shape, right? Because we pull a lot of G. I always say it is, you know, flying a fighter is like playing football in the sky. And, you know, after an hour and a half sortie, I mean, you are worn out. What is a G? One G is what holds us on the ground. So the F-16 is capable of sustaining 9 Gs, which is about 2,000 pounds of kinetic energy that just pounds on your body. And, yeah, you know, as a byproduct, you know, we take the proverbial celebrity or media or politician up that they generally get quite airsick, and most of them pass out as a result. And I had the opportunity to take David Faraday, you know, the big golf announcer at CBS, up, and, you know, he had one goal, and he's very close friends with Rick Riley, the Sports Illustrated writer. And Rick Riley got the call sign Two Bags for the amount of vomit that he filled up.
Wow.
And David walked out the door and he took one bag. He said, whatever happens, I'm only going to throw up one bag's worth. So, yeah, that's one of the bad byproducts generally of people going up there. But I'll tell you what, anybody that has the opportunity, it is well worth a little air sickness to get to check that off the list of life's experiences.
Major Rooney, finally, one more time for people just tuning in to 580K IDO. Tell us more about the Volition America Half Marathon coming up March 21st here.
Yep, so I cannot wait to be boots on the ground coming up a week from Saturday. And we got a half a marathon, a 5K, and a 1.3K representing the 13 folds that bring the American flag to its triangle shape. And the bottom line is, if you love your country, if you love those who serve, we need you on this mission. Folks can go out to volitionamerica.com, and register for the race. Proceeds benefiting Folds of Honor, which provides scholarships to spouses and kids who've had someone either killed or disabled in Iraq and Afghanistan. But again, finishing up, America needs everybody out there on March 21st, and I can't wait to be up there to celebrate God and country and all those things that make this the greatest country on planet Earth.
Sir, we appreciate it. Major Rooney, thank you for your service, and thank you for picking Boise, and we Sure hope you have a great event. Thank you very much.
We will. We will. Thanks and Godspeed. We look forward, Kevin, to seeing you for the 1.3K out there, all right?
I'm carving up now.
All right. Perfect. Take care.
All right. Thank you, sir. That's Major Dan Rooney. Remember, VolitionAmerica.com, Folds of Honor, a nonprofit that provides educational scholarships to families who have lost loved ones while serving our great nation. Let's get you to work safely.
Glenn Beck, weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
My daughter is studying here at Boise State University to become a DLP teacher. Although I support her going into education, I really don't want her to stay in Idaho under the current system that we have and under this bill. Parents always want the best for their children, and as her mother, I don't want to see her struggle financially as I have these past years.
Another tragic, emotional testimony smashing the state's education system yesterday before the Idaho House. They're debating what to pay teachers. How did we get here? Have teachers always been underpaid in the state of Idaho? It's kind of like the road issue. Have we all of a sudden just come out of nowhere and, you know, we've been drastically paying teachers for years and years and years? And now all of a sudden other states are poaching educators, like people poach law enforcement officers from Canyon County, offering better benefits, better pay. We seem to be seeing that all the time. And have we reached a crisis? You remember Penny Sears said yes when we had her on. By the way, you can always check out those interviews, the podcast at 580kido.com. You have the head of the teachers union saying, yeah, there's a crisis here. And then you have other people, predominant people in the state Senate saying no. Heck, you even had Mr. LeBeau commenting on it, talking about Senator Sinaway. And now he's on paid or unpaid leave from IACI. But when you listen to these folks, just like everywhere else, it's just the testimony is just so, you know, I can't say what I want to say, but just so darning, if you will, where people are speaking out against the lack of teacher pay. You know, I think about this and, you know, what is next? What is next when it comes to education? You know, we had five levies go up. They went 5 for 5. You hear people in West Ada start saying, let's get moving on the building and such. And as we've exposed, there are places, whether it's in Boise, Meridian, Nampa, Caldwell, you have kids without textbooks. So do you pay for the teachers? Do you pay for the textbooks? And again, Senator Sinaway, I'd love to get him back on. What a great guy he was, talking about in eastern Idaho. I know you're saying, Kevin, you're not in eastern Idaho. I get that. But in eastern Idaho, heck, you have people that aren't even certified. Of course, I believe that's going on in Canyon County as well, teaching. Well, what do you need to do to teach? Well, I think you need to learn how to effectively communicate and educate, right? Are we in danger of getting what we pay for? Tea Party Bob from the Gem State Patriot with Kevin Miller at 580KIDO. Good morning, sir.
Remember, Kevin, and we do get the government we deserve. That's unfortunate, but that's the truth. We've covered so many issues here this morning. The immigration problem is not going to be solved until we get rid of the rhinos in Washington and get some politically incorrect conservatives to replace them. And the real problem lies with the influence of the corporate lobbyists and the ruling politicians, because they want more immigration to keep wages down. This problem, it just doesn't permeate throughout the country, but it affects us right here in our state. The revelations in the past 2 weeks exposing IACI's contributions of over $700,000 in money pumped into our state's elections can tell you what's been going on here. We no longer have a conservative legislature because corporate influence has changed what happens with campaign contributions. And they're working to get rid of the conservatives who oppose them. We saw that happen in the last election. You know, what do you think is behind the initiative to raise the gas tax? Construction lobby, the big money. You know, how much is it going to cost the middle class and lower income earners It's not going to cost 5 cents a gallon, but 7 cents a gallon, because they're going to pass the 2 cent distribution fee along with them in the price. You can't pay our teachers a reasonable salary, but our Rhino establishment legislators have once again raised the most regressive tax, you know, that you can impose on the middle class earners. Not only that, but they refuse to give any tax relief to the middle class in Idaho.
Good point, Tea Party Bob. Got to run. Time for traffic. Good morning, Dave.